Well, it's great to have you here with us this morning. Great line in that song, this whole idea of a guiding light. You know, we're looking for something to believe in. And so as we start 2019, we're in this series called Follow the Leader. And really, we're talking about, you know, what it means to follow. And as Eric said a moment ago, it doesn't matter where you've been or how you behave or whether you believe or not, Jesus invites us into that circle. And so really excited you're here today. We're in week two. My name's Kurt, by the way, if we haven't had a chance to meet. And whether you're here for the first time, if you are, man, really excited you've chosen to join us today. If you're just back with us, man, we're always glad when you come back. So it's good to see you this morning. And we began last week and had three discoveries we looked at. And I don't have time to unpack all that we looked at last week and go to the podcast page if you want to catch up there. But three discoveries. One was being a sinner doesn't disqualify you from following Jesus. In fact, it's a prerequisite. Everybody who followed Jesus, everybody who was invited to follow Jesus, you know, was a sinner. I mean, it's just, you know, there's nobody that's outside of that. And so there were all kinds of unlikely characters that Jesus invited into his circle. In fact, the better a person was, the more difficult it was for somebody to understand who he was. And then the second thing we looked at is being an unbeliever doesn't disqualify us. And this is huge because, you know, think about it this way. Nobody who followed Jesus when he was walking this earth believed he was the Son of God. Not a single one. And so even young Sheldon, I mean, that scene we saw, if that's you, if you struggle with, you know, believing that there's a God or an existence of God or, you know, just what kind of God is he, those are reasonable questions. And so we're glad you're here getting some of your questions answered and trying to discover that. But you know, it means you, even if you're hung up on like whether Jesus was divine or not, I mean, how could you have a person that was fully God and fully human and you've just never been able to reconcile that? That doesn't, you know, prevent you from being involved. Invited to follow him and just kind of be in the room and take some notes and try to figure things out. And so, you know, believing starts with just kind of being in the room. And then the third thing we looked at is that the invitation was not a religious invitation. It was purely to a relationship. In fact, religion, every religion, nearly every religion in the world, it has this filter. You know, kind of get yourself together, start, you know, looking like us, operating like us, and then come join us. And this is one of the reasons that for many of us, we struggle with this church idea, whether we grew up in church or maybe, you know, we used to go with grandma and we just never felt like we could, you know, do what all those church people did. And they're so consistent in their life and I somehow am missing something and I've just got to get myself together in order to be with them. And so if I don't look like them, I might as well not go. That wasn't Jesus though. Jesus turned that upside down and he kind of, you know, made a lot of religious people mad because he said, hey, just come follow me. Just come take some notes, be in the room, be in the circle, be around me. And guess what? You're going to begin to change. So much so that over time, you might look in the mirror and go, oh my gosh, I don't even recognize that guy right there. I don't recognize that young lady right there. Because, you know, people who hung around Jesus began to change. And the same is true for you and I. So this series, as we kick off 2019, we're just asking the simple question, am I following? You know, am I following? Not, you know, how consistent was I in my Bible reading or how consistent in church attendance have I been over the last 6 months? No, just am I following? Am I engaging? Am I willing to engage in the process? And so today, we're going to look at another story from Jesus' life. And I love this story because I think we all find ourselves in this story. As you'll see later on this morning, I think you'll find that you connect somewhere in the story. And the fascinating thing about much of the New Testament, if you've read the New Testament, is we have four kind of authorized accounts of Jesus' life: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what's cool about this is we don't have any other ancient figure in the history of the world as significant as Jesus who has four different perspectives about his life that give us, you know, evidence to the things that happened in his life. Now, Matthew, he was an eyewitness, as we looked at last week. He was there. He was, you know, interacting with Jesus. So he's writing from his experience. We have Mark, who spent time with Peter, and he didn't know Jesus personally, but he knew Peter. And so he took down all of Peter's experiences and writes them down. And then we have Luke, who, again, wasn't there, but he kind of gathered all these eyewitness accounts. He interviewed people who were there. He interviewed people who were at the cross, and he's a doctor, so he wants to take, you know, kind of real detailed notes about everything that he can get his hands on that took place. And he even says, I wanted to leave a detailed account so people could know exactly what took place when Jesus walked the earth. And then we get to John, and John was, again, another eyewitness, so he lived this. So four different perspectives, different angles at Jesus' life. The story we're going to look at today is in two of them. It's in Matthew and it's in Luke. And what's fascinating about this is Matthew was Jewish. And so Matthew kind of comes at it from a different perspective. He had a big faith. He was communicating with people who had a big faith. And so he kind of sometimes leaves out details that people that don't have a big faith kind of need in order to be able to, you know, connect dots. And so Matthew is primarily writing to this Jewish nation. And here's what he says without a lot of detail in Matthew 4. I want to read it for you. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter. Now that's important to understand that Simon and Peter are the same person. And his brother, Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake. Why? Because they're fishermen. And so he just said to them, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and they followed him. And we get here and we're like, whoa, you just like drop everything? Like a man walks up and says, hey, come with me, and you drop your livelihood and literally begin to follow him? It gets worse, right? Take a look at what happens next. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately, look at this, they left their boat and their father and followed him. End of story. And so, you know, we just go, I don't know about that. That seems pretty irresponsible. I mean, picture these two guys, right? Jesus walks up to them. He says, hey, I want you to follow me. And they're like, hey, Dad, we're going with the guy in the sandals and the dress. Got the beauty sash and the nice hair. We're following him. Good luck with the business, Dad. And they're off. I mean, you're like, I don't know that I could do that. I mean, for me, I can remember hearing this story when I would go to camp as a kid. All right, this was like the last night of camp story around the campfire, you know, kind of like that. We're really going to tell you what it means to follow Jesus. And it was like, you got to leave everything, right? When you go home, if you're really serious, you got to leave it all. Like, you're burning your CDs when you go home. And for those of you that are like under 30, a CD was like a little disc, like a Frisbee that was this big, and you put it in a machine and plays music. All right, so we'd burn those suckers. We were like, had to tell all our friends, I can't hang out with you anymore because, you know, I got to have different friends because I got to leave everything. I mean, it was like, I'm going to be stripped naked and bare. Jesus is going to take everything, and I'm going to be living in a van down by the... And you guys know that too. I mean, that was kind of the picture of what it meant to follow Jesus. And I just remember thinking, I don't know that I can do it. I mean, I don't know that I'm good enough because I'm pretty inconsistent in my life. And all these people seem to do it really well, but I have a little bit of an outage. And then I, like later, like when I was like 35, I learned I did actually have an outage spiritually. When we prepared to launch Crosspoint, my wife and I had to take these assessments, all kinds of assessments, to kind of make sure we were wired to do this. And there was this one that measured our values, like how do you perform and what things do you value? And one of them was a spiritual value. And mine was like in like pretty low. I thought it was like in the 55 to 62 percentile. And I just looked at that. I'm like, oh my gosh, they probably are going to tell us we're not fit to start something new. And probably like you're not even fit to be a pastor. It's so low, right? And so I remember going through these assessments, and they're debriefing them with us and telling us about them, and you know how we're wired, and I'm wired. And I just remember like waiting for the boom to fall. Like, yeah, you can't do this because this is so low. And they never talked about it. So at the end, I'm like, well, wait a second. Look, how about the one that says the spiritual? Like, are you guys concerned about that? And they're like, oh, well, that's like more than just spiritual, like regarding faith. That's like anything you get passionate about. Like, you could get passionate, your spiritual value could reflect like republicanism or democratism or anything you get really passionate about. And yours has to do with faith, but we actually like that it's low because like most pastors, it's like 85 to 95 percentile, which means that they operate at an altitude that's 85 to 90% higher than, you know, or higher than most of the American population. And so you're like really low. So that's good because you're going to connect with like normal people. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that's good. And so this is why I'm glad Matthew's account wasn't the only one, because I would have read that thing and gone, man, I'm out. I don't know that I can drop everything and go. So then we bump over to Luke's, you know, picture, perspective on this same event that took place. And Luke, see, he's writing to the Gentiles, which is everybody else outside the religious fray. All right, so you had the Israelites or the Jewish people, then you had everybody else known as a Gentile. So he's writing to the Gentiles who don't have a big faith. He's writing to the Gentiles who weren't really raised with a faith, and he provides a little more detail because he understands like they need more in order to make like logical decisions. So here's Luke's version that he writes to the Gentiles, people who don't have a big faith, in Luke 5. It says, one day, Jesus was standing by the lake. Matthew kind of missed that detail. He didn't include that in his story. One day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which you and I, we would know that as the Sea of Galilee. It's the same place, same sea. the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. So there's way more going on right here, right? Like this isn't just Jesus walking up and saying, hey, drop everything and leave. Jesus is teaching. He's preaching. People are listening to him. Now, this is so important. This is so important. See, faith always begins with information. It always begins with hearing, listening, being instructed, taking in new ideas. It always begins with getting your questions answered. All right, and so here's why this is so important. If you've ever been a part of a religion, if you've ever been a part of a brand of Christianity that just said, hey, check your brain at the door, blindly believe, you need to get the heck out of there, all right? That's not the faith Jesus was talking about. Jesus, he's like, no, let me teach. Let me give you some information. Let me help you piece some things together. Let me answer some questions, because faith always begins there. And so he's standing at the edge of the water, and he's teaching. And people are crowding more and more around him because he doesn't have a stage. He doesn't have like a barrier like I have to keep you guys back because you just want to rush the stage the whole morning. It's only on game day that happens. All the rest of the time, you like the back, right? But you see, he has people pushing against him. Before long, he's in the water. His feet are getting wet, and he just keeps backing up. And look at what it says next. It says, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. Now, let me explain what's happening with the washing of the nets. See, fishermen in that day would fish at night. All right, they would fish at night, and they'd pull up their nets, and then they'd go into harbor, and if they caught anything, they'd empty the fish, and if they got the fish out, they'd hang their nets on the wooden posts along the dock, and they'd let them dry. And while they were drying, they'd go fish out all the sunglasses and the beer bottles, everything they dredged up, you know, from the lake while they were trolling and pulling in their catch of fish. And they start cleaning their nets, and then after they were dry, they'd roll them up, and then they'd pack them up for the next night's, you know, work. And so these guys are cleaning their nets while Jesus is standing there, you know, on the edge of the water teaching. So they're working, and they're listening to him. They're working, and they're hearing what he's saying. And all of a sudden, it says that he saw their boat sitting there. Verse 3, it says, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. Remember, that's Peter. And he asked him to put out a little from the shore. Now, I don't know exactly how this went, but imagine, he probably went to Peter, and he's like, hey, Peter, I know you're busy, don't want to be too much of an inconvenience, but could I, like, use your boat for a bit while you're finishing up your work right here? And I don't know if Peter got in the boat with him, and then they pushed out a little, or if Peter tethered it to one of the posts on the dock and, like, just pushed him out a little bit, but either way, Peter is still there listening, he's still in earshot, and he's working. He's listening, and he's working. And now Jesus is a little distance from the shore. He's pushed out just a bit. And it says, then he, meaning Jesus, sat down and taught the people. So he continues teaching the people from the boat. Because remember, faith comes from hearing. It comes through instruction, through learning, getting your questions answered. That's where it always begins. So Simon, Peter, James, and John, they're listening and working, listening and working. Verse 4 said, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, which is Peter. Now he could have said anything to Peter. He could have said, hey, Peter, what'd you think about that talk? You want to like leave everything and follow me? And Peter would have had a really hard, you know, decision right there. Oh man, that's my livelihood. Do I really want to do that? He didn't ask Peter that. Look at what he says. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now again, this is super important. See, Peter's a fisherman. He'd done this 1,000 times. Jesus is asking Peter to do something he's done 1,000 times. And there's two problems with. First, two problems here. Peter, I can imagine, was like, how do I say this? Jesus, I don't know if you noticed, but you're busy talking, but we just like packed up all our stuff. Like, well, you were busy talking, we were putting our nets away, and and that's not any, like, you know, easy task to just get them back out, and he didn't want to, like, be disrespectful to Jesus, right? He wants to be respectful. Jesus is a rabbi, so he kind of, in a politically correct kind of, you know, diplomatic way, he says, Master, Simon answered, Master, in other words, not Lord, not God, but Master. Like, we recognize you're a rabbi, you got some super cool powers, maybe even Master Jedi, right? Master, we've worked hard all night, and we haven't caught anything. And this is so important because, see, again, back in those days, they fished at night, right? And this was a sea, not a lake. They weren't fishing with poles. They were fishing with nets. The reason they fished at night was because, you know, during the daytime, the water would warm up. And when the water warmed up, the fish would go deeper. And so they needed the fish up kind of closer to surface because they fished with nets so they could, you know, they could troll and capture the fish and bring them in. So they'd been fishing all night the way they were supposed to, the way it worked in those days. And they caught nothing. So they're on the shore cleaning their nets. They came home empty-handed. And Jesus says, hey, Peter, let's go fishing at a time when you're not supposed to fish. Meaning, I know you know how to do this, Peter. I know you've done this thousands of times. But I want to ask you to do it different this time. I want you to do it the way I think you ought to do it. Just try it. Just try it once. Try it one time. And I'm not asking you to, like, leave your business. I'm not asking you to, like, leave your family. I'm just asking, like, just once, would you try it my way? And you know what Peter's probably thinking. He's like, obviously a carpenter, right? I mean, doesn't know fishing, right? Doesn't get fishing. He probably even said, Jesus, hey, listen, you stick to the teaching, all right? Why don't you talk really well, man? Why don't you teach? Let me fish. Let the fishermen do the fishing, all right? Because see, Peter knows, man, this crowd of people, if they see him get his nets back out and they go out trolling again, fishing in the middle of the day, people are going to think they're crazy. It's not when you fish, all right? And so what's on the line for Peter right here? What's the thing hanging in the balance for Peter? It's really, the thing at stake for Peter is one, people are going to think I'm crazy, so there's some reputation on the line. But the bigger thing is, like, Jesus asked me to do this. Do I really trust that he knows what he's talking about? I mean, can I really trust him? Because I've done this 1,000 times, and I know you fish here, and Jesus is asking me to do it this way. And then that's why this next verse is so inspiring. Look at what Peter says. He says, but because you say so, Jesus. This is the BBYSO test, right? But because you say so, not because I think it's going to work, not because I think it's going to help my reputation, not even because I think we're going to take in a whole boatload of fish. I mean, we didn't catch anything. It's not going to work. But Jesus, because you say so, all right? Because I listened while I was working, and I lent you my boat, and I worked a little bit more, and I was listening while you were teaching, and I have just enough respect for you. Now think about this. Right? If you've struggled with faith, if you're somebody who's struggled with believing, if Jesus is who he says he is and so on, imagine what hung in the balance right here for Peter. I mean, just imagine what hung in this moment of whether he was going to take a step, his reputation, whether he really was going to, you know, just waste a whole nother day or not. And at some point, I mean, the only reason we know who Peter is from this point forward is because he decided in that moment, okay, maybe this isn't that big a deal. All right, I know I've done this 1,000 times, but Jesus asked me to do it this way. Okay, maybe I can try it one time, even though I don't think it's going to work. See, this is where some of us are today when it comes to faith. I mean, this is like the elbow in the side. This is like the little nudge that we feel that we know we should try something different. All right, but we've just never been able to pull the trigger. See, Peter had no idea what hung in the balance. I mean, if Jesus could have just dropped a screen in front of him, pulled out the projector and said, Peter, look at what your life is going to turn into. If you take this one step, Peter, if I could just part the curtains and show you what this is, what gateway this is going to create in your life, he'd be like, look at this right here. And Peter'd be like, what is it? And Jesus would be like, that's your tomb, Peter. That's St. Peter's Basilica right there. I mean, that's your tomb. That's how big your life became. I mean, because you took this one small step, you know, God used you in such a dramatic, big way to touch people's lives. They actually built this huge building over your tomb. Take a look at the inside. Have you ever seen a building like this? Peter, it took them 118 years, some of the world's best builders during the Renaissance era, to build this. Peter, will you take me fishing? Well, sure. You can have my whole boat. I mean, whatever you say, Jesus. But see, he didn't show him all this. He couldn't show him all this. It was just simply, hey, will you take me fishing? See, Peter, like many of us, he's hanging in the balance of this single decision. And he has no idea. All right, he's fished 1,000 times. He has no idea, you know, if this thing that Jesus is asking him to do, which is a bit different than what he's known, is going to work. You know, he's just saying, hey, will you do this? Will you do it? And he says, okay, because you say so, I will do it. Okay, I'll let down the nets. It says, when they had done so, not like when they intended to, not like, okay, let's pray over this and see if this is a really good decision. See, it's in the doing that makes the difference. It's in the making the decision to go forward with it. But when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. and they signaled to their partners to come in the other boat to come and help them. And they came because both boats were so full, they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, what do you think he did? He's probably like, Dad, look at this. Look at this catch of fish. Oh my gosh. Listen, we're not going to work for like months. We got so many fish. We got to create like refrigeration or something so we can keep the fish. I mean, we get all geeked out over the fish, right? We read this or we see this if you've heard the story. And we're like, the fish were so overwhelming. In this moment, it's no longer about the fish for Peter, right? Peter does something here, and it's not about the fish. In fact, take a look at what he says next. It says he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me." He doesn't say master or master Jedi. He says, "Go away from me, Lord." See, it was no longer "go away from me, master," but he just recognized something in this moment. He said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." It is so important right here. This moment is when Peter recognizes Jesus is the Messiah. He sees for the first time who Jesus is, and he realizes who he is. So this right here was the beginning of Peter's relationship with Jesus. He was shoulder to shoulder, eyeball to eyeball with the Savior of the world, and he didn't even know it until he was ready to take one small step in something he'd done 1,000 times. But Jesus said, hey, would you be willing to try it a little differently? Would you try it my way once? Peter's like, I don't know about my reputation. I don't know what it's going to do. Peter, we just try it my way one time. And when Peter does, it opens his eyes, and he realizes he's in the presence of the Lord right there. He says, "For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken in. So much so were James and John, the sons of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners." And then it says, and Jesus said to probably all of them, but he specifically looked at Peter right here. And he says, "Don't be afraid from now on." In other words, man, don't be afraid. This is a gateway. This is the beginning of something I'm going to do. I've got great plans in store for you. I've got a future for you. And I couldn't tell you what it was. I mean, if I could have shown you on a screen the impact of your life, you probably would have jumped right away, but I couldn't. I mean, I couldn't. I needed to know, you know, would you just trust me in something small? And in doing so, when you took that step, your itty-bitty little faith intersected with my big faithfulness. And in that moment, you saw who I was, and you recognized who you were. And in that moment, you saw that I can take a small step, and I can trust you. And it says, from now on, he says, you're going to fish for people, to which they're like, what do you mean? How do you fish for people? And I'm guessing Peter's like, I don't know. We're going with him. All right, after this, we're going with him. So they pulled their boats up on the shore and left everything and followed him. There's our word, followed. And I would have too. And you probably would have too. Not because, you know, Jesus just said, hey, leave everything and follow me. But because they got inconvenienced. And they were in a place where they could hear and they could listen and they could get their questions answered. And all of a sudden, in that moment, they took a single step of following. And it was a gateway to beginning to develop a trust relationship. So, what does this have to do with us? All right, as we think about what it means to follow the leader, you know, and you might be thinking, well, I don't know that I can do that. I'm not spiritual. Well, I want us to look at four things. All right, in this story, there are four phases of following that I would say every single one of us fall into one of them. All right, and these are connected to your next step. So if you want to take out your connection card, on the back side are some next steps. And I want you to just track along on these. When you say, okay, this is where I am, this is kind of the phase that I'm in, I want you to think about, okay, what's my one single next step that God may be nudging me to take? All right, so the first one, here's what they are. Here's the four phases. The first one is the sit and listen phase. All right, and for some of us, you're here this morning and just being in the room is like huge for you. All right, or you're listening online and just listening is huge because you've never really been around church much or around, you know, spiritual things. And so just the fact that you're here, you're in the sit and listen phase. You need more information. You're taking in information. You need questions answered. You need to get some things, you know, some truth so you can be like, okay, I'm piecing this together. I'm beginning to understand, because that's where faith always begins. It always begins with learning. It's why I say, you know, if you've ever been invited into something where somebody just said, hey, check your brain at the door. I mean, if you're going to really believe in God, you got to put everything you know aside. You just need to run. Get out of there. Like, don't stay around. That is not what Jesus invites people into. I mean, it's always, hey, let me give you some information. And so you might be in the sit and listen phase. So your next step might just be coming back next weekend. All right, continue to take notes. Continue to take in information. So if so, maybe that's what you mark on here. You say, I'm just going to return next Sunday or next Thursday if you can't make Sunday. Or, you know, if you can't make either, just keep up with the podcast and sit and listen. Continue to sit and listen. The next group of us are those who are in the alone in the boat phase, right? The alone in the boat phase. Now, this is kind of an annoying phase. I'm going to be really honest, all right? You know why? Because if you're in the alone in the boat phase, you've been hanging around, you've gathered information, you're like, okay, I want to grow, I want to begin to grow, but I'm new to this whole deal. And you keep hearing us talk about like this annoying thing called starting point, right? You're like, oh, you know, I probably should do that. They say it's for somebody who's newer, you know, to the faith, who maybe doesn't have some questions. And you're like, I don't have time for starting point. It's an inconvenience. You know, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, why? I don't have time. Well, you might have to be inconvenienced a bit, but that probably is your next step. All right, because this is where you need to get into a place where you can sit with other people and you can get your questions answered. That's what starting point's for you to have more information and then have a chance to dialogue and have questions answered. And so, you know, maybe that's your next step. Or maybe for you it's reading. It's just you've never read the New Testament. It's just starting with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's getting a Bible. We have free Bibles at Connection Point. You can grab one on your way out, or we've got, if you go to the app, the CrossPoint app today, and you go to this week, hit today's verse, it'll take you to the YouVersion Bible. And you can download an app that's free on your phone. You have the Bible at your disposal all the time. And so maybe for you, it's just taking in information and reading and beginning to continue to connect dots and then asking questions. All right, I'd encourage you to start with Luke, all right, instead of Matthew. Usually people start with Matthew. He's the first of the New Testament books. Start with Luke, all right, because he's talking to people who don't have a big faith or a lot of spiritual background. All right, then the next phase is the take him fishing phase. And this is where it gets really fun. All right, the take him fishing phase is where, you know, maybe you've been following now for a bit of time and you're like, Jesus, I want to know you and I want to begin to learn more about you and I want to begin to, you know, take in more growth in my life and emulate you more. And your Heavenly Father's asking you to do something that you've done 1,000 times. Maybe there's something in your life that He's like, I want you to try it my way. All right, I want you to try this thing that you know how to do or you think you know how to do, but I want you to do it my way. And I want you to do it different than you've done it before. And usually, this has to do with one of the big three areas in our lives. Usually it has to do with a relationship, has to do with a profession, something professionally, or it has to do with money. And Jesus is just saying, hey, here's this one thing, I want you to try it different. And you're kind of like, I don't know. And you know what it is, because you've been hanging around. You've been sitting and listening for a while. Or you've been starting to pray, or you've been starting to get some quiet time, or when you run in the mornings or the evenings, you have time to reflect, and you kind of get these nudgings, and you end up going like, you know, I really ought to start, and you fill in the blank. Or I really ought to, you know, stop doing this. And so you know what that thing is. I mean, I don't know what that thing is, but you kind of know what that thing is. And it's not like a conscious voice has said, hey, do this. But it's like it's maybe something more intelligible than audible, like you've had a nudging. It's like, you know, have you ever considered your relationship, you know, heading this direction? I mean, you've always done it this way, but, you know, you kind of end up in the same place every time. Why don't you try it my way? Or, you know, I want you to be more generous. I mean, I know you've always seen what you have is yours and use it all for yourself, but I want you to be more generous. And so there's this one thing that's just kind of, you know, nagging. And it's not changing everything. It's just one thing, right? And you may have no idea what hangs in the balance of that one thing. And so this decision to, like, conduct business differently, or this decision to begin to manage your relationship differently, or this decision to be more generous, whatever it might be, I mean, this may be the gateway, because this is the epicenter of your life right now. This is the thing, and you probably know what the one thing is. This is the thing that you're like, okay, am I going to trust Jesus? Because Jesus is going, man, will you take me fishing? Will you take me fishing? And you're going to have to decide, am I going to, even though I think I know how to do it, I'm going to trust what Jesus says about it, not just what I think I know about it. And you're going to, if you do it, you're going to get to this place of going, oh my gosh, I had no idea. I mean, I trusted, and whoa, God just showed up in a way that was totally unexpected. So one thing, you know what the one thing is. And then the last group, the rest of us, is the leave your nets thing. And this is for people who have been around for a while. This is people that have, you know, kind of been growing in their faith over time, and you've had those one moment things where maybe you obeyed God in something, and all of a sudden, boom, something happened. You're like, the only thing I can say right here is God worked in some miraculous way. Or you began to, you know, obey God in your finances, and you've been becoming more and more generous, and yet you're like, I just can't explain it, because God always meets my needs, and it's not just financially, but I mean, it's just like, there's there's things in my life I never would have expected, or, you know, I knew this relationship wasn't healthy, and I felt like God was nudging me to maybe go in a different direction, but I had no idea. And he said, do you trust me? And I did, and all of a sudden, here I am, and I would have never guessed that I would have had this relationship that I now have, because I was willing to obey God in that moment. So you've had those one moments, and now the leave your nets phase is where God's like, okay, I want you to surrender. I want you to surrender it all. Meaning, you know, you've kind of said, oh, I'll let you have this area of my life, God, but not this area. I'll let you have this area, but not this area. And now you realize, man, I've seen God work, and I just need to say, okay, God, everything. I'm willing to trust you, my finances, my relationships, my profession, my sexuality, all of it. All right. And so that's the, you know, I'm ready to leave my nets. Now, as you think about where you are, I want you to think about what phase am I in, and what step do I need to take to get to the next phase? And the issue, see, the issue here is not grading yourself. It's not like, okay, I'm going to try this week, and if I fail on Tuesday, well, I guess I'm out. I mean, I guess I'm disqualified. I guess I'm not, you know, mature enough to get to the next phase. No, that's not the point. The point is, are you willing to just take the next step? You know, Jesus didn't ask us to go from 0 to 100. He just wants you to take the next step. Think about it this way. I know we're all a little bummed, you know, about the Colts loss yesterday, right? But was there anybody, you know, 10 weeks ago that would have said, oh man, we're going into a game where we have a shot at making the AFC Championship? Anybody? Remember, you're in church, you can't lie. Anybody? No. Well, who would have thought that we would have ended up, you know, playing to have a shot at the AFC Championship? Nobody would have guessed that. You know how that happened? If you've heard the sound bites, you know, Frank Reich talks about it all the time, the Colts coach. He talks all the time about it's 1% a day. Every day, we're just saying, how can I grow a little more today? How can I become 1% better? Andrew Luck was talking about it last Tuesday. He said, this week, we're gonna grow today 1%, and tomorrow we're going to do another 1%. And by the end of the week, it's like 7%. I mean, extrapolate that out. By the end of a season, you're like a lot of percents better, right? Which is what we've seen. But it didn't happen overnight. It was just every day saying, okay, what's my next step? Am I willing to take the next step? Wherever I'm at, I'm willing to take the next step to continue to put one foot in front of the other. See, in the balance of this decision, whatever your next step is, I mean, you may have no idea what hangs in the balance of that. See, it's in the doing. It's in the taking the step and trusting your Heavenly Father, whichever one that is, that makes a difference. I was thinking this week about how this has played out in my life. And, you know, it's really interesting because so many times I'll have conversations with people and they'll say, well, Kurt, you know, you talk about this stuff, but you're a pastor. Like, I don't know that you know, like what real people deal with. Remember my like 55 to 60% spirituality, you know, percentage? I'm kind of in the middle. I'm kind of the norm. And yet, I've grown in this. I mean, I grew up with this stuff. I mean, even though I'm certainly not perfect still at doing it the right way all the time, I mean, I'm still in need of a savior. But if I can really be honest, I mean, I look back to like, I grew up as a kid with being asked, hey, you know, here's what you want, but here's what Jesus wants you to do. And being faced with that, do you follow? And I can look back to forks in the road. I mean, in junior high, some really significant moments where I wanted to go this way and everybody else was going this way, but I felt a nudge where God was just like, you know, Kurt, are you willing to trust me and do it different? Even though you think you know what you're going to do. And I'm so glad I did. Now, I didn't do it every time, but I had moments. I had a lot of one-off moments. You know, dating, you know, even when Julie and I were dating in college, I mean, we dated for 4.5 years and we had temptations just like everybody else. And yet, you know, we were like, we don't want to just follow the pathway, what everybody else is doing. And it was hard and it didn't always make sense. And yet, I just remember there's always this nudge of God saying, hey, do you trust me? You know, going through college, I mean, deciding what I'm going to do, you know, with my career. And I had all kinds of ideas and I just couldn't get a lead on anyone that seemed to be what, you know, I've just had a passion for. And I just remember God saying, do you trust me? I mean, you can keep pursuing all that and you can eventually come back to where you are. Are you willing to do something that maybe you've not done before? Do you trust me? Parenting. I mean, parenting, certainly we've had moments. I mean, you know, some of our best moments in our lives for Julie and I have been as parents. Some of our worst moments have been as parents. I mean, we've been through the ups and downs. I mean, I remember between our third and fourth child, we lost a child in miscarriage and it was painful. I remember feeling so guilty. Like, I feel bad even though we have 3 healthy children. And yet, we still long to have another child. And I just remember God saying, do you trust me? I mean, we joke now. We didn't joke then. But every now and then, we'll be like, yeah, we have 5 kids. My kids are like, really? Like, yeah, one just is already in heaven waiting for us. and with four here on this earth. Do you trust me? Professionally, I mean, I can see moments, forks in the road professionally. And I tell you what, some of the biggest challenges that have grown me, specifically at Crosspoint, have been moments where I feel like God's calling me to do something beyond what I've known. Maybe I've done something 1,000 times. And it's like, okay, will you try it this way? And I'm like, well, but do you trust me? In fact, I had one of those even in the last week. You're going to hear more about this in the next few months. We're going to be heading into a series here in February talking about kind of the forming vision, the emerging vision God is putting on our team and just on our hearts for taking Crosspoint to new places. And we've been talking about this. This isn't new, but it's going to be tangible. We're actually taking steps to begin to raise capital, to raise funds, investment, to take Crosspoint to new places. And it's not just how do we take a church and put it in a new place. It's how does God want to use our lives to reproduce in our friends, in our neighborhood, and in other communities what we've come to experience here? Because if you haven't tracked on this, it's not just about what God wants to do in our life, but it's how he wants to use our life to help others come to him. And just this past Monday, we're sitting with a leader that was helping us process through this. And I sat there, I go, oh my gosh, every time we talk about this, about raising funds for the next thing, I mean, it'd be so much easier to just kind of do what we're doing and keep going and be comfortable. And it's like God and I have this moment. He's like, Kurt, you know how to do this, but here's what's next. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And then I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've seen how many times that I've stepped into that. And I've just been blown away at what God does. So we have no idea what hangs in the balance of one simple small step, wherever we are, whatever that next step is, whatever God's putting on your heart, and you kind of probably know what it is right now. But he's asking you, will you take it? Are you willing to take it? And if not, you may never see what God wants to do in you or through you. All right, so whatever that step is, whether it's coming back next weekend, getting in a group, you know, whether it's saying, okay, what's that one thing I'm going to trust God in, or okay, God, I'm going to surrender. I'm at a surrender point. All right, you know your next step. Everybody know their next step? Got it in your mind, in your hearts, on your paper. All right, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for these perspectives from Matthew and from Luke, and they give us so much insight into what it means to follow, and that it wasn't just leave everything, but it was let me take in some information, let me get some questions answered. But we're still faced with that moment where we have to decide. All right, this is you know, something different than what I've tried before. And Jesus, I just pray that you would communicate to us. You would say, okay, if this is our next step, you would help us to know clearly what it looks like to step into it. And give us the courage to do that. And Jesus, thank you for caring enough to get involved in our life and to pull us into what you're doing and who you are. And so we just pray that you be with us this week as we take these steps, as we contemplate the next steps. Just guide us. Would you lead us? Because we want that firm foundation, and we want to live off that. And we pray these things in you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. All right, so we're going to sing a couple more songs. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to do something kind of unique that we don't often do, but we're going to sing a song that we just taught you. You just sang Build My Life. We're going to sing it again. But for me, this takes on a whole new meaning after we look at these stories. So Van's going to lead us in the song. Let's sing it again together.